again, it's so good to be here. You know, Sheila wanted me to speak on Mother's Day, and by Wednesday she was asking me, what are you going to speak on? And I wasn't sure at all. I mean, I've been so busy and didn't get a specific word. Then she said, you can speak about Hannah. Hannah's, you know, you could speak about Hannah from 1 Samuel chapter 1. And so I just went in before the Lord again and said, Lord, you got to give it to me now. What is the word that you want me to speak? And the word God gave was break barrenness, break barrenness. And even as Joshua was leading in worship, break every chain, I saw literally a sword being pierced upon a very dry land. And I really believe today the entrance of the word is going to bring life. I'm not trying to bring a teaching today. There will be some teaching. I'm not trying to bring an exhortation today, but I want to bring in a prophetic word that is going to bear fruit in your life today. I'm bringing a word that God has given me. This is not my word. God has asked me to speak this word. And if he tells me to speak this word, that means God is in the business of standing by his word. And the word that God has given me is he wants to break barrenness in every person who's listening to me today. So get ready. Get ready. I believe before the end of my message, I don't care what barrenness is in your life, it's going to end. That's the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord will never return back void. Hallelujah. So, you know, when you go right from Genesis chapter 1, you'll find Genesis chapter 1 starts with the earth was without form, which was void, and deep darkness was over the earth. A barrenness was all over the earth. But as the barrenness was there, the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the deep. And then as the Spirit of the Lord hovered and there was barrenness, God spoke and said, let there be light. It was never God's will for barrenness in your life. It is never God's will for you know, situations to be barren in a person's life. God is a God who transforms barrenness into fruitfulness. If you go back into, again, Genesis chapter 2, when 1 and 2, when he's created man, one of the first things he tells man, you know, he first creates him in his own image, in his own likeness. Come on, isn't that wonderful? Come on, we are made in the image and the likeness of God. That itself thrills me. We're just not normal beings. We have the looks of God. We have the DNA of God. We have the image, the icon of God is upon us. And then once he, you know, builds and creates us in his image, the first thing he tells us is be fruitful and multiply. Come on, be fruitful and multiply. I'm an accountant. For me, the word multiply means a lot. He didn't say add, he said multiply. He said multiply. Multiplication is very different from addition. And you got to look at your own life. Are you living a life of multiplication? In your giving, has your giving multiplied, or are you being stagnant in your giving? Is it the same amount that you gave 2 years ago towards the poor, towards the church, towards tithing and offering? Is it the same, or is there a multiplication? The time that you give to God, the time that you give in serving God, is there a multiplication that's taking place? Is the place where you honor God and have a communion with God, is the multiplication taking place, or is it just a stagnation where even an addition is not what God is looking for? God is looking for a multiplication. Be fruitful and multiply. And today, even the cruising has to stop. And I believe, I really believe God is in a purpose in it. You know, he is a God of multiplication. And then he said, be fruitful, be fruitful. And I was reading Genesis again today. Again, I was going through a whole book of Genesis this morning. And again, when Noah, when he wiped out the whole creation with everything, and just Noah and his kids were there. And the same thing he says, be fruitful and multiply, be fruitful and multiply. And I want to just leave that with you. You know, God's purpose for us is abundance. Your cup shall overflow. Not only you'll have life, God says you'll have life in abundance. And I pray even this morning as you, you know, hear my voice and hear the word of God, that every barrenness in your life will be broken. I want to talk again, going before I go into the specifics of how do you break barrenness. You know, barrenness comes in various forms. in various forms it comes. One aspect which all of us know is the physical element of barrenness. There's a physical element that your womb is barren. You look at, in the Bible, you read about Sarah being barren. There are others in the Bible. You know about Rachel being barren. You know about Elizabeth being barren. And if I go, this was church, and if I was to ask Amelia and Billy, who are the other people that are barren, they'll give you a list of people who are barren. And they had a physical aspect of barrenness. That's one kind of barrenness. And you find all these people who are barren gave birth to some amazing men and women of God. Come on. The destiny wasn't barrenness. The destiny was fruitfulness. And I bring that word even now. That today your destiny is to bear much fruit. Fruits that will remain, not to be barren. But then there's the other side of barrenness. You'll find a barrenness in the land. In Genesis chapter 26, there was a famine in the land. There is a barrenness in the land. And Isaac is trying to go to Egypt, and God stops him and says, no, you stay where you are. And God, you know, the two promises says, I'll be with you and I will bless you. I will be with you and I bless you. And that changes everything. You read about Ruth and Naomi and her wife and her husband going, leaving Bethlehem and going to Moab because there's a famine in the land. You find in 1 Kings chapter 17 where Elijah comes and tells Ahab, there'll be neither rain nor dew except by my word. And the next 3.5 years, there's a famine in the land. And there's a widow who's stuck in that famine and trying to have a last meal. So you find there's many stages, many types of barrenness. And one of the types of barrenness is there is an aspect of barrenness in your resources, barrenness in the land, barrenness in anything that you do, there's absolutely barrenness. And the scene that I saw when Joshua was leading worship is the sword of the Lord coming into the barren ground. And when the sword of the Lord strikes this barren ground, things shift. And as I speak, I believe things are shifting in your life. As I speak, the entrance of this word is shifting things in your life. You could be in India listening. You could be in any other country listening. You could be in your home in Canada, in Toronto listening. I speak to you. As the sword of the Lord hits the barren ground, things shift. You find in Genesis chapter 26, Isaac, you know, in the time of famine, when everybody was scared, he sowed and he reaped 100-fold. And he became so prosperous that kings came to him and wanted to cut covenants with him. In a time of famine, you will be prosperous. There is another type of famine. There's another type of barrenness. It's a barrenness in the spirit realm. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, you'll find, the word of the Lord was rare. There was no visions. There was no revelations. And this is the worst part. I mean, you can be barren in a physical realm. You can be barren with your resources. But there's something about people of God going through a place of barrenness in the spirit realm. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, you'll find there was a barrenness in the spirit. They could not hear the voice of God. There was no visions. There was no revelations. And I believe today, if somebody is very honestly saying, God, I haven't heard your voice. I'm struggling to hear your voice. And there's a famine in your life in walking in the fullness of the spirit. The Bible says, do not be drunk with wine, be drunk in the spirit. You know, there's an aspect of the word and the spirit coming to us, and the aspect of hearing the Rhema word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And it's time for the church. It's time for us to hear the voice of God and be lavished with hearing the voice of God. And today there's another type of barrenness. It's a barrenness in the spirit. I've spoken about the different types of barrenness. And the second thing I want to talk about is, how does barrenness come? How does barrenness come? And I'll give you a few things that I'm, as I read in the Bible, there's a few ways in which barrenness comes. And one of the ways barrenness comes is by allowing sin to enter your life. When sin enters your life, when you allow sin to enter your life, barrenness comes. You'll find in the book of Samuel, where David danced before the Lord. I think it's 2 Samuel chapter 6. He danced before the Lord. And as he danced before the Lord, he took his garments off and he danced so lavishly before the Lord in worship. His wife, Michal, is watching from the window. When he comes home, she lashes out at him. You've been so undignified. You know, in front of all the servants, you've danced. Are you a king? And he says, I'll be more undignified than this, because this is what I did unto the Lord. And God gets angry. And the last verse in that particular chapter, chapter 6, therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. It was a curse. It was a word that came from the Lord that you will be barren. Sin can bring in barrenness. How does barrenness come? You'll find in the book of Malachi, you'll find Malachi chapter 3, it talks about, do not rob God. Bring your tithes and offerings to me. Will I not open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you cannot contain it? But then he says, you know, so that I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the wine fall on bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. The devourer will come and you will be under curse if you're not bringing the tithes and offerings to the Lord. That's what the book of Malachi says. So you can walk yourself into a place of curse where the devourer can come, and you can walk into a place of famine. As for the book of Malachi, you know, in the book of Haggai, again, it's a beautiful book. I've studied the book of Haggai so many times, preached about the book of Haggai. And there you'll find people who are building, living in their own panel houses when the house of the Lord is in ruins. And God comes in and says, you know, you earned so much. You put the money in your pocket, but you got holes. But there is a verse in the book of Haggai chapter 1, verse 10. He says, therefore, the heavens above you withheld the dew, and the earth withheld its fruit. There are heavens above you. The heavens not in the person to the right or to the left. They are prospering. They are doing well. But the heavens above you has withheld its dew. And all this is because people, we're not walking in the will of the Lord. So the first reason I want to say is it's because of not walking in the will of the Lord, not doing the things God's asked you to do, or walking in sin, you allow yourself to walk in barrenness. The second thing, and I might be contradicting myself, and God does. There are people who did not walk in sin, but were barren. That's the beauty of who my God is. It's not just that the people were walking in sin and you can start judging, oh, this person is barren because they're in sin. Not at all. You look at people like, people like Hannah. You know, she was walking with God. You look at people like Elizabeth and Zechariah. They were righteous. They were blameless. Yet they were barren. And in the interesting part in the case of, say, Hannah, and in the case of Rachel, the Bible says the Lord closed the womb. The Lord closed the womb. And there is an aspect. There is an aspect. You can walk in the will of the Lord, and God could bring in that barrenness. At the end of this, what I'm trying to say is I think it's so important that you discern with God what's happening in your life for barrenness. I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to tell you this is the way. But all I want to say is if there's barrenness in your life, I think it's so important that you take time to go before God and discern on yourself. God, what's happening in my life? The will of the Lord is not for you to be barren. I want to repeat this again and again. And I've come with the word of the Lord that I'm breaking barrenness. I'm breaking barrenness. You look at Rachel. Rachel cried out to her husband saying, give me children or I'll die. And he says, am I God? But God does intervene in Rachel's life, and Rachel gives birth to a child. Same thing with Hannah. Hannah is so desperate. God intervenes and gives her a child. And I want to say, even in all these circumstances, God has intervened and has broken barrenness. And I have a word for you today. Whatever your barrenness is, God is able to break the barrenness. I want to look at one small passage from 1 Kings chapter, 2 Kings chapter 4. It's about a Shunammite woman. It's about a Shunammite woman. And I want to look at a very few verses this morning on how can we break barrenness over our life. Are you guys still with me? Good, good. Amulya saying yes, and Billy saying yes, and I'm sure those who are watching me will be saying yes, because I want to get into the Word of God. Let's get into the meat of the Word, because I want to give you some truths from the Word of God, how barrenness can be broken. In 1 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was as often as he passed by, he would turn there to eat some food." Here's a woman in Shunem, a notable woman. Here's a woman who is rich. Here's a woman who is wealthy. Here's a woman who had influence. Here's a woman, when you look at that woman, you'll say, what's wrong with this woman? She's got it all. But the reality is, she's barren. She's barren. I want to say money does not buy everything. Money cannot buy everything. And a person, you might think, has it all, but there might be a barrenness in that person's life. And I want to say, even now, if there's anybody who's watching who does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there is a barrenness in your life. If there's somebody who's watching that you walked away from God, there's a barrenness in your life. And here's a woman who everybody looks and says, wow, she's got it all. Barrenness comes in. The beautiful thing, how does she break through barrenness in the life? First thing she does is she persuaded him to eat some food. I want to talk a little bit about hospitality. You know, I Church on the Rock loves to, we love to fellowship. We love to go to different homes and eat. We love to go to different restaurants and eat. But there is something about being hospitable. There's something about opening your doors. There is something about breaking bread. This woman did not go to the pulpit. This woman did not get into intercession. This woman did not do any of the things. She just opened the door for a man of God to come in, and she fed the man of God. I want to say hospitality will open the door for many miracles in your life. I want to state this again. And it's just not breaking barrenness. It's walking into the miraculous realm can take place in your life if you can be open the doors for hospitality. That's what she does. And there, I want to get into the next verse. It says in verse 9, it says, "And she said to her husband, 'Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly.'" In verse 10, it says, "Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him and a table and a chair and a lampstand, so that whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." She moved from a place of just being hospitable. She moved from a place of just, you know, giving food and letting the man go. She said, "I want to take it higher. I want to build an upper room. I want to build a small upper room." Can I stay on this a little bit? And I want you to listen to what I'm saying today. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. And I feel there's weight in what I'm saying right now. She says, "I want to build a small upper room." I like the word small. I like the word small. The small upper room. Upper room is a place where you commune with God. And it does not have to be big. Sometimes we say, "I want to fast for 40 days. Sometimes we say, "I want to pray for 2 hours. And ultimately, you're not praying for 2 minutes. You haven't fasted one meal. I urge you, take small steps. Take small steps. You know, pray for 20 minutes. Pray for 15 minutes. And as you do that 15 minutes, it'll go to 20 minutes and 25 minutes. Fast one meal. Build a small space. You don't need to go to the jungle to cut yourself off and pray. Go to a place where just a corner of your bedroom. Create an upper room in the corner of one small room and saying, this is the place where I'm going to commune with God. So create a small upper room. And I want to say about the upper room, the power of the upper room. In Acts chapter 2, the Spirit of the Lord fell when they were in the upper room. In 1 Kings chapter 17, when Elijah is there and a widow, you know the story about the widow and Elijah, and the only child of the widow dies. And Elijah takes the child where? To the upper room. Puts the child on the bed and prays. In this same passage, this Shunammite woman's son dies at a later point. You'll find that. And the same thing, this woman takes the child and puts him in the upper room. Upper room is the place where miracles take place. Upper room is a place where dead things can come to life. Upper room is a place where barrenness can be broken. And my, if you've forgotten about everything else I've said, if you can just remember this, if you don't have an upper room, create an upper room. Even if it's a small upper room, that's where barrenness is going to be broken. There's four things that she puts in that upper room. I want to talk very briefly about it. There's a bed, there's a table, there's a chair, and there's a lamp. Let me speak very quickly about these four things, what I get from the scriptures. There was a bed. Bed is a place for intimacy. You know, there is a place where you and God have to be intimate. In the upper room, you need to have a bed. You need to have a place where it's just you and God. And in the place of intimacy, ministry is birthed. The seed of the word of the Lord gets into you. And out of that womb, great things will come out. But it comes from a place of intimacy with God. Create that bed. Create that place where you can be intimate with God. You can do what you want. You can say what you can say. You can cling to God. You can scream. You can shout. You can be quiet. You can sing. And you can pour out your heart. Create that place, that bed with God. The second thing is there was a table. Table is a place where you can sit and converse. Table is a place where you can have fellowship. Table is a place where you can reason with God. There are things that you don't understand. There are things that, you know, there are so many things that, you know, I can share many, many things as I go through the scriptures. I just went through the book of Exodus about three times. And I had many passages where I could not understand why God did this. And I reasoned with it, God. I reasoned with God. And suddenly he started downloading. Table is a place where you reason with God. The third thing is a chair. Can I speak over the chair? Chair is a place you sit down. Chair is a place you sit down. And I feel God is saying, stop running. Can you just sit with me? Can you stop everything? Can you just sit with me? And I feel, especially us from the, you know, the North American side, where we are so busy running around. I know we are in COVID and we are in lockdown, but in a normal way, we are driving down 401. We are driving down DVP. We are rushing, doing this and coming back. And God sometimes says, can you just sit down with me? He's lifted us up to the heavenly realms and made us seated with him. I want to say heaven is not in a hurry. And I pray you and I will know how to sit with God. And finally, there was a lamp. Lamp is a light, the word. The word is a lamp. You know, when you have the word of God in that room and you start, you know, for me, it's the word and the spirit. When I get into the word, that's when I start hearing his voice and my voice is nullified. I start listening to him. The word of God is so beautiful. And my prayer is you'll have a place where you can be intimate with God. A place where you can sit with God, a place where you can commune with God, where you can wrestle with God, and ultimately you'll have the word of God right there in the middle. There was a table, there was a chair, there was a lamp, and there was a bed. And when this woman of God created this upper room, what happens is, you know, nobody knew that she was barren. Even Elijah did not know. And Elijah comes and asks her, what do you want? I can give you what you, do you want to talk to the king? I know the king. I can put you to the king. You can have a session with the king. And Gehazi, Elijah's servant, says, no, she's barren. Elijah looks at her and says, this time next year, you'll be with a child. Come on. We need prophets like that. And I really feel this is not me speaking. And I want to say today, I haven't come with a word. I've come with a prophetic word because barrenness is being broken today. For all those who are hearing this, my voice, barrenness is being broken. Barrenness is being broken. Whether it's your womb, whether it's your health, whether it's your children, there is a realm in which God is moving that barrenness is broken. Elijah sent that word. And within a year, a child was born. It's as you continue in the story, there's two aspects I want to talk about the Shunammite woman. As you look into that story later, this child dies. This child dies. You know, the second barrenness is much worse situation than the first barrenness. I don't know whether I'm talking to somebody today. You've been barren before. You understand what it is to be barren. You've gone through tough times. You know what it is to go through tough times. But the enemy, there's no rules of engagement with the enemy. He hits hard. Especially when you're serving him, he hits hard. And he hits hard here. He comes a second time and says, woman, I'm going to make you barren again. Two things she does, and I want to leave these two things with you. When the second time, the woman is a different woman. This woman is a different woman. And I think you need to learn from the Shunammite woman. What she does is she takes that dead boy and takes him to the upper room and puts him in the bed of Elisha. You got to have an upper room. You got to have a bed. You got to have that place of intimacy. You got to have a right saying, God, this cannot happen to me. She takes him to the upper room. I charge you again, have that upper room. Have that upper room. Just because you got it all, you think you got it all, don't ever come to a place that enemy is not going to hit you. The enemy could hit you, but you got to have an upper room where you can hit back at the enemy. Next thing, she goes running to see Elisha. She clings to Elisha's feet. And she does not even tell what's going on. And Elisha tells Gehazi, take my staff and run. Put it on the boy. She does not let go. She knew it is Elisha. And Elisha goes back. Gehazi tries to raise the child. The child does not rise up. Elisha goes, raises the child from the dead. Two things I want to say. This woman knew the power of an upper room. The second thing, she knew how to cling on to God and get the answer. Come on, come on. She knew how to cling on and get the answer. She knew how to cling on and break barrenness. I want to go into this, you know, the third aspect of the Shunammite woman, but I want to come back to the aspect of clinging on to God. I'm going to close with that very soon. You know, this woman, there's a famine again in the land. There's a barrenness in the land. And Elisha comes and tells, the Shunammite woman, there's going to be a famine for 7 years. So go to the Philistines and get away from here. And she does. She comes back after 7 years. She's lost her land. She's lost her house. And she's walking towards the king to try and get back her land and her house. At the same time, Gehazi is talking to the king and telling about the Shunammite woman. As she walks in, the king looks at her and says, this, are you the woman? She says, yeah. Not only she gets her land back, not only she gets her house back. The king says, give her the 7 years income also. All the 7 years income that she lost, give it back to her. I believe it's a prophetic word for somebody today. Somebody today. If you're a Shunammite woman, you know you have toiled, you have been there, and you have given yourself to the Lord, and you come back and the enemy hits you hard. I have news for you. He's got to return everything seven times. Seven times. I want to close with this. You know, I've spoken about barrenness. This woman wasn't looking for a child. This woman had cut herself off saying, I'm happy the way I am. And Elisha intervened. But you look at other women like Rachel. You look at other women like Hannah. They wanted a child. They wanted a child. Hannah wanted a child. She was desperate for a child. And in both these cases, God shut the womb of Hannah. And I want to speak to people here. If God shuts the womb, what do you do? Do you give up? Do you say it's over? Do you say it's a done deal? Do you say it's God's will? You know, sometimes God shuts the door because he wants you to fight more. He wants you to fight more. There is a realm that you and I have to walk in and wrestle with God. That's what he's looking for. It's not that he shut the door so that you won't have it. He shut the door because he wants you to come to another level. That when he gives that, you're a different woman. Hannah was a different woman. Hannah did not let go. You know, there was her husband, giving a double portion than the other wife that he had. It didn't settle for her. And he said, am I not better than 10 sons? You know, don't settle for the gifts. Go after the giver of gifts. Go after the God who's the creator of the universe. And he has something for you. And I have, you know, I feel this is a strong word for some people who have settled and said, this is God's will for me. It is God's will that I've got to be barren in these areas. I have news for you. God is saying, get up, woman of God. Get up, man of God. Fight this fight. Go before God. Like it's like the Shunammite woman who held on to Elijah's feet and says, I will not let go. It's like Jacob wrestling with God through the night and says, unless you bless me, I will not let go of you. And I pray this day there will be men and women of God who will rise up and say, this barrenness will be broken. I have news for you. I have news for you. There is no one who wrestled with God, who went before God as a barren person, didn't not come out this another way. For Hannah, it was the birthing of Samuel. Samuel was the person who first anointed the first and the second king of Israel, was anointed by this man. He was the greatest prophet. He was the greatest intercessor. The enemy wanted that to be stopped, but Hannah would not let go. And I pray you will not let go. I pray you will fight beyond what you want, because it is the will of the Lord for the barrenness to be broken in your life. Hallelujah. I want to pray. Hallelujah. I want you to join me in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I was praying, as I was preparing for this message, I had specific words for some people. And I wrote down what God was speaking to me. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you. We give you glory. Come on, wherever you are, would you go before God? Are there Hannahs in this house? Are there Hannahs in this house? Are there Shunammite women in this house? Come on, go before God now. Go before God. This is your time. This is your season for the barrenness to be broken. Hallelujah. The Lord showed me there's a person who's watching today that you had some miscarriages. You've had a few miscarriages. I have a word for you. I want you to listen to the word of God. God is strengthening your womb and you will be fruitful. You will be fruitful. I want you to receive this word of God. This is not my word. As I waited on the Lord, God gave me this specific word. I see you in the spirit realm and I speak to you. God is strengthening your womb right now. God is strengthening your womb right now and you will be with a child. The past is over. The past is over. Stop crying about the past. Stop crying about the miscarriages. God is saying, I will bless you and you will be with a child. I saw a mother crying for a child. I saw a mother crying for a child. And you're in a desperate situation right now. And you're crying for your child. Hallelujah. And you come to a place, God, if you don't intervene, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have a word for you. I have a word for that mother. He's a God of breakthrough. He's a God of breakthrough. And the breakthrough has been released over your son. The breakthrough has been released over your son. The Lord says, stop interceding and start praising me. Start coming before my throne room with your hands held high, with praising God, because I got a breakthrough. He has released the word that the situation is going to change in your son's life. I saw another picture as I was praying and preparing this message. I saw a person shooting an arrow. And there was no velocity in that arrow. As soon as that person shot that arrow, that arrow literally fell at that person's feet. And that person was trying again and again. There was no velocity in that arrow. I have a word for you. And I believe that this is to do with the ministry that God has called you. You've tried everything. You've tried everything. There's no strength. There's nothing. There's nothing that's happening. And you've been praying hard, God, use me. Here am I. And I feel there's a strength of the Lord falling upon your hands and your shoulders. And this time as you take that arrow, and this time as you put that arrow in that bow, as you get into ministry, the Lord would say unto you, hallelujah, things are going to change very dramatically. Hallelujah. And this arrow is going to depart so swiftly, that you will be surprised that the words coming out of your mouth, the doors that's being opened, God is saying, I'm changing your situation. I'm seeing definitely two people that this word is for. I want you to believe that word. And sometimes, I'm speaking to those people who have struggled to minister to God, to get into ministry and do things for God, and you haven't seen any fruit of it. I want to encourage you today. You know this word is for you. The hand of the Lord is upon you. the hand of the Lord. I saw the hand of the Lord coming upon your shoulders and your hand. And your ministry will prosper. The fourth thing that the Lord showed me, I saw a woman drawing water from the well. And the well was very, very, very deep. And I found the strain as the woman was trying to draw water from this well, because the bucket had to go down and down and down. And the woman had to bring that water really high. And this, and I felt this woman is coming to a place of giving up and saying, "That's it, God, I can't do this anymore." And this is a godly woman who has waited by the well. You waited by the well. You're a godly woman. You've done all that you need to do. And you're waiting by the well. God is saying, your cup will overflow. God is saying, and I really believe this is a woman who's been waiting for her husband. And the Lord is saying, the husband is here. That's the word the Lord gave me. The new season is upon you. Your cup will overflow. You will not have to draw water again. Come on, church. I want you to pray over these words. These are not my words. These are the words that the Lord had given me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are many who have different other type of issues that you have. I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray for you right now. I want you to look at the barren land. I want you to look at the barren situation. I want you to look at the things that has not been fruitful at all. You've tried again and again and again, and you haven't borne any fruit. I want to come before you. Father, I come before you. Come on, church. I want you to pray with me. I want you to pray with me. Father, I just thank you for this morning. I just praise you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, you're a God of impossibilities, a God. I thank you, God, that you're a God who rejoices in taking things which is impossible and making it possible, oh Father God. I thank you, God, that you do so well, oh God, when things that cannot happen happens, oh Master God. It's like the Sarah who's old and who cannot bear fruit, bear any children, oh God. You know, God, you choose people like Sarah and you ask that Sarah to give birth to a child, oh God. And Father, I thank you, God, that you specialize in impossible circumstances. And Father, even now, God, I lift up those impossible circumstances. Come on, lift up those circumstances. And I see some of you will have many barren situations, things that you wanted to do again and again, and there's been shut doors in front of you. Father, I speak right now in the name of Jesus, by the authority that you gave me this word of God, that there'll be a breakthrough, God, that barrenness will be broken this morning. And I say, God, even this day, that barrenness will be broken. You said, be fruitful and multiply. That is the word you gave, O God. Be fruitful and multiply. And I command, O Father God, anywhere the people have not been fruitful, O God, anywhere there has been even additions, O God, I'm breaking that spirit, O God, and I release the spirit of multiplication in the lives of your children, O God. I thank you, Father. I praise you. I give you glory. I thank you, God, that angels have been sent, O God. I thank you, God, behind this word that's going, there's activity in the heavenly realms, O God, to fulfill the words that's been spoken today, God. We just thank you. We just praise you. We give you glory. In your name we pray this prayer, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys. It's been wonderful to be here. Joshua is going to come and lead in a time of worship and close the service. We're going to have prayer. So just feel free to come to the Zoom platform. And we will be there. I will be there. I'll be glad to pray for you, and others in the prayer ministry will be there, like how we used to do in church. Come into the Zoom platform and we'll be glad to pray for you. God bless you.